No matter how bad the news gets, we know who's on the throne. Devil's been trying to stamp out Christianity for 2,000 years, and we just keep getting bigger on him every time he tries that. I'm going to been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to just quote a verse for you, or half of one, actually. I could give you the whole thing, but that I didn't give to the sound booth. I just decided to go with this first, and that's 1 John. 1 John 3 and 8, it tells us why Jesus came to planet Earth. And it says it was for this purpose or this reason that the Son of God was manifested or appeared, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, when he left here a couple thousand years ago, he said, the works that I have done, you're going to do an even greater works than you do because I'm going to the Father. And he said in another scripture, and it's better for you that I go, because if I don't go, I can't send the Holy Spirit. So the mission of Jesus is the same it always was, and that's to destroy the works of the devil. And the reason it seems to be kind of dragging its feet getting done is because he had to turn it over to somebody called the church to keep it going. And that's the only reason, that's the reason I'm teaching the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not teaching them so you can entertain yourself or get you a merit badge that says I operated in this gift or that gift. It's like that man that was mentoring Doug and was out ministering to folks on the street. And then he turned Doug's situation around as well because he knew that our job is to defeat the works of the devil. So last week we talked about the power, started in the power gifts. I didn't quite finish them. We got the first two done. And power gifts are the gifts that do something. And to do something, you need power to do it. And so I went back last week and went all through Acts 1 and 8 and all that stuff, the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit's come on you, and how the power needs to work in us, and all that. If you weren't here, you need to get a CD of last week if you don't get any of them, I think, because it explains some things. But I think the very first thing is, we prayed for a lot of people, and I hope it wasn't all the ones we prayed for that could not here today, but I know a few are. Anybody got a testimony that at least you've seen some change, you've seen some improvement since we prayed? We're not basing our faith on whether you did or not, but I just wonder if you did. Anybody? Larry, we want to hear about it.
I'm feeling pray from the back is what we did, and of course we've been prayed for several times, and I appreciate your prayers and continue to pray. It's feeling better. I still feel some twitch, but it's feeling much better. And I'm believing. I've been believing ever since I've had this problem that the Lord's going to heal me, and I haven't yielded to going to the doctor and having surgery or anything. I'm believing the Lord's going to completely heal me, and it's feeling better today than it has been.
All right. Praise God. Anybody else that we prayed for? Well, Leslie said she's getting better. That toe's getting better. And, of course, last week, and I did, I don't make this stuff up, but during worship last week, because I knew Larry had been dealing with that bad back, and we prayed about that a number of times. And when I was sitting up here, I saw it. I saw me, and the reason I called the elders up here is because that's what I saw me doing. And just prayed for him, but then other people began to show up, and it seemed like most of what we prayed for was bad backs. I shared with the folks that were there Wednesday night that then on Monday I went to Mike Griffin, who sings with the Forever Changed, the bass, that I was supposed to sing for him Tuesday night at the church, but I didn't get to because it turned out, I found out right after I left church Sunday, I had a funeral to do Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and a friend, former member of mine, So Mike's been laid up with a bad back. I went over to his house Monday to visit him and pray with him, and found out that not, he was in the bed, and also his son was in the bed, the son that lives with him. His son's, I guess, about in his 30s, I guess, and he had hurt himself at work. He was down in the back. I talked to some, I reported to my pastor friends I meet with on Tuesday morning, and several of them said, you know what? I think that's what the devil's doing right now, because everybody in my church got back hurting, it seems like. But, we talked last week on the working of miracles, and you can't just neatly divide between all these gifts, because they work together and they overlap. But in a lot of cases, the difference between a miracle, working of miracles, gifts of healing, for one thing, is miracles are creative. Gifts of healing cure disease. Now, everybody's got something wrong with them, doesn't have a disease, and a lot of times, like in the case of a back that's got deteriorated disc in there, it needs some creative restoration. It don't just need healing. It's not really a disease. It doesn't need healing. It needs restoration. And with faith, we can stand in faith, and God can do that, but sometimes we just need a booster shot. And I want you to recall some things last week I mentioned. I'll just remind you, but we talked about Smith Wigglesworth and a man that had raised, I believe it was 26 people from the dead, recorded. He gave us an account of one of them that I read last week. But he said in there that he said, I found that if I'll go as far as I can go with my own developed faith, then often God will hook the gift of supernatural faith onto the end of my faith. In other words, he didn't say, I'm just sitting at the house waiting on God to do something. I go as far as I can go with what faith I have, and then often God will hook his supernatural faith onto the end of it. We saw in the work of the miracle that someone needs to work them. And that someone is some of us in our case. And you do know, don't you, that the Bible says you're supposed to desire the gifts of the Spirit. It tells you to. I don't care how many people tell you, oh no, desire the giver, not the gift. No, the Bible says in the case of the gifts of the Spirit that we're supposed to eagerly desire them. Why? Because I need all I can get to destroy the works of the devil. That's why. I need all I can get. And so we saw that somebody needs to work energio, that dunamis, in order to get it. Faith is involved in the miracles working. We talked about a couple of things last week that were miraculous. The Red Sea opening up. What do you think would have happened if Moses would have refused to stretch his rod out? I'm not going to do that, God. I'd look foolish. They'd say that we'd have never heard of them, because the Egyptians would have got them. What would have happened with the widow Zarephath if she had said to that preacher, you're not getting part of my last biscuit. This is all I've got. I'll tell you what, that would have been all she had. So what I'm saying is, faith, you need faith to activate this supernatural stuff. And Hebrews 11 and 11, I want to look at that scripture, and I'm King James again, real Bible. And 11:11, and in fact, my 1984 NIV does not even say this like it's written here. It says, it talks about Abraham instead of Sarah, but every other translation, including the newer NIV, puts it back to Sarah like it was written. But it says, through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength. That word strength in the original language is dunamis. Through faith, Sarah received dunamis, supernatural miracle working power to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Through faith, Sarah, she had to receive that. She received strength to. Through faith, she received power, dunamis, to receive the seed, to conceive the seed. Now, conceive, C-O-N prefix, means there's two involved in this. And I talked about this one of the first things I ever preached here. Sarah had been receiving seed. Roger was over in my office this morning, and he was talking to me about, you know, that a lot of people don't understand they have to receive. You have to receive. I said, yeah, but there's one other thing. You also got to conceive. Sarah had been, I'm sure old Abraham was trying all them years. Sarah had been receiving seed all them years. She had been receiving the seed. Oh, I receive it. I receive it. She had been receiving that seed for years, but she couldn't conceive. And some of the things you talk about, skepticism, or what's that magic word again? Cynicism. A lot of folks, well, you can tell them something that's in the Bible, and they say, I just can't conceive of that. Well, you're not going to give birth to anything then. And a lot of folks think that they don't, because conceive means take that seed. See, in the case of human reproduction, what Sarah had to do was take that seed and get it to meet up with an egg down here. And now she can't in her mind make that happen, but she had never been able to get that to work before all these years. But she got supernatural strength to conceive. And what I have to do in a conception, if I'm going to give birth to anything miraculous, I don't have to just receive the seed, but something on the inside of me, which is usually that word I've already deposited in there, is going to grab a hold of that. And you know when that happens in you, because you feel a little explosion in there when it happens. I mean, a lot of times you hear it in your ears, and it makes good sense to your mind. But then when you hear it down here in your hearer and know it down here in your knower, something starts growing. And you'll know it. It won't be long. And you know what you'll tell folks? You'll say, I'm expecting. And that's the definition of hope, is confident expectation. And so we have to hook some stuff together here. To conceive. Many people are a hoping and a praying. Now, it wouldn't be good enough if I just said hoping and praying. They are hoping and a praying that for something miraculous, but have never developed faith that they could do what needs to be done to initiate the miraculous. They just sitting home or even coming to church and just a hoping and a praying. Well, we just a hoping and a praying. Well, somebody better get to believing and get a conception. And a lot of them have never developed their faith to do what's required to initiate or to maintain it if you do get it. God expects us to do in the natural what we can to obtain. I'm going to talk about the gifts of healing today. God expects us to do in the natural what we can to obtain and maintain our health. We can't just live any old way we want to and think I'm going to pray and fix this. Larry heard me when I felt like sharing a little something how the Lord had revealed it to me. I'm convinced because I just got this unction to look up about sciatica. And I found out they called it billfold disease, and mostly men have it a lot more than women do. And it's usually on the side where they carry their bill, that big old fat billfold in their back pocket. And I knew years ago when I went to the beach or on a trip or something that my back would get hurting. If I'd take my billfold out and lay it somewhere and sit straight, it didn't hurt. And so I got me a billfold thin enough I can carry it up here. I can't carry everything I own. But now, ladies, us men have our pocketbooks, too. It's called our car. We just keep our stuff in there. Okay? In the back seat, in my case. But, so, and then Larry sent me an email about the prayer, and he said he had also worked on some things in the natural he needed to do. We need to do that. We can't take the natural out of the supernatural. The super is the part God hooks onto the natural. So, Leslie posted something on Facebook, I think it was yesterday, the day before, I guess, and I liked it, so I pulled it up, and, well, let me see if I can get this thing to cooperate. Yeah, it's a picture of a guy. We're looking at his back, and he has a T-shirt on that has a message on it, okay? And here's what the message on the back of his T-shirt says. It says, I take aspirin for the headache caused by the Zyrtec I take for the hay fever. I got from Relenza for the uneasy stomach, from the Ritalin I take for the short attention span caused by the Scopoderm TS that I take for the motion sickness, that I got from the Lopinavir I take for the diarrhea caused by the Xenical, for the uncontrolled weight gain from the Paxil. I take for the anxiety from Zocor. I take for my high cholesterol. Because exercise, a good diet, and regular chiropractic care are just too much trouble. And I posted that and put a note on it, and it's the truth. One Sunday, not more than 3 or 4 weeks ago, I guess, I don't remember, but we prayed for a bunch of people up here. And everybody they prayed for, I didn't notice it when I was praying for them, but we went to lunch, and Leslie went to lunch with me, and she said, you know, everybody we prayed for was suffering from complications from a medication they're taking. Now listen, don't stop taking your medicine. But it's the truth that if you take one, you got to take three more to get over that one. So the best solution in the world is to do in the natural what you need to do to get your health right. And I know this. I have found it by experience. Your body needs to have a certain kind of balance and certain muscles you move. And I have found that the bigger it gets out here, the more my back hurts. If you want to understand the principle, pick you up a box of groceries or something, hold them right in front of your belly, and walk around a while and see how your back feels. All right? So, when we're teaching about the gifts of the Spirit, there's a whole lot of reasons sometimes why we don't get well, and some of them is because God is dead. Listen, you cannot smoke 3 packs of Marlboros a day and just pray that you won't have emphysema or COPD, because you're going to have it probably. Does God still love you? Yes, He does. But suppose you loan somebody your car, your new car, and you said, now listen, you have to put certain kind of, you have to put this car, this particular car, high performance engine, you got to put high test gas in it. And then you got to keep the oil changed. I'm going to let you have this thing for a few months here. It's my car. I'm loaning it to you. But you don't do any of that stuff, and you put regular gas in it when it was designed to burn on something else, and you do all that. And then they bring your car back, and they say, I'm having trouble with this thing. Would you fix it for me so I can drive it some more? God loans you a body. God loaned you a body. Now, I haven't perfected this myself, but I do work at it. I'm just saying that we need to do in the faith realm, in the natural realm. Psalm 103 says, don't forget all these benefits. Forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases. Glory to God. The next verse is the one I used to leave out. I've got to where I can put that in there. Now, back about 30 years ago, I'd skip over it. It says, in the King James, He crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies. I was having a little trouble with that. So I just jump on over. So He satisfies, He renews my youth like an eagle and satisfies my mouth with good things. I think those two are part connected together somehow or another. He satisfies my mouth with what I ought to, huh? He satisfies your mouth first, that's right, and renew my youth like an eagle. I found out that if I let God tell me what I ought to put in my mouth, He don't send me a telegram, by the way, that I found out that I feel younger. I've heard doctors say that women that have smoked for years, that he tells them that they're going to have COPD and emphysema and heart trouble and all that, they'll keep smoking. But when he points out to them the research that shows that smoking causes your skin to wrinkle a lot worse, they'll quit, a lot of them. Satisfy my mouth with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagle. 1 Corinthians chapter... And I said all that after just having a little simple thing I wrote. God expects us to do in the natural what we can to obtain health and to maintain it. And add your praying to that, because you need to pray too, because you probably won't be perfect at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. I went into that more than I intended to, but it seemed like I kind of got out there and need to be there. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Through 11, I've read them numerous times. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everybody withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts, plural, of healing. And really, that word should be plural, too. The gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. And to another, divers kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit divide into every man severally as he will. All of these gifts are supernatural. That means they're outside the natural realm. They are manifestations of God's grace, charisma, manifestations of God's grace, of God's power, and they work through human beings. These gifts are special grace for a special need. New Testament believers are supposed to primarily live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's in your Bible four times. And Jesus did not say, when I return, will I find miracles on the earth. He said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth. But thank the Lord for miracles when our faith has run out on us and we need a miracle, because God is still there to hook on to the end of what we have. There's special grace for a special need. New Testament believers should live by faith. I'll give you a little example. We're talking about the power gifts. You go out to crank your car in the morning and you turn the key and it goes, And so you get out of the car and you're supposed to be at church and you see your neighbor and you wave at him and say, I've got jumper cables, can you jump me off? And he'll come over there and you hook the jumper cables up and you get your car started off of his power. His car laid hands on your car. And it gets started and you get to church. And, of course, it's Sunday, so you need somebody to jump you off so you can get back home. But listen, Monday morning, don't be standing out by your car with your jumper cables waiting on your neighbor. It's time, sooner or later, you got to replace the battery or get the alternator to working. You either need to charge it or get another one. That's right. And see, that's what the gifts of the Spirit, in a sense, are kind of like that. They are special grace for a special need. They're not to live on every day. And when the folks were over in the wilderness, they lived by miracles. They had supernatural supply falling down out of heaven every day. But they never had anything for tomorrow. They had to hope for tomorrow, too. But when as soon as they crossed the Jordan River and got over into the Promised Land and they planted some corn, and as soon as they had their first harvest, Joshua 5 says, and the first day they ate the corn of the Promised Land, the manna, the miracles ceased. And now they're living by faith. What you sow is what you reap. You can have all the corn you want, not just one day at a time. You can have a whole year's worth of corn all at one time if you want to plant that much. And that's the way we're supposed to live. That doesn't take away from, I'm just trying to put the balance in here. These gifts of the Spirit are really primarily for us to take out and use at Walmart and at Food Line and out in the street somewhere and with your neighbors and with your, but thankfully in the church we need them too from time to time. But we shouldn't just expect them in church and forget where they're for. Look at the New Testament and the apostles when they went out in the early church. They took this thing to the streets, man. And many of the dramatic and miraculous healings. I wrote me a note, but it's my words. Many of the dramatic and miraculous, supernatural healings I have witnessed myself. I've seen people lose them later on. Some of them are things I've told you about and just making a point about it happened, but some of them lost what they had. I mentioned probably several times about a lady that we prayed for, and she was instantly healed of color blindness. Instantly. And saw in color for a couple of years. But she would not feed her faith. She didn't go to church too often. She was a school teacher. She never missed going to work. But on Sunday, she was tired and slept in. And I talked to her several times about maybe she needed to get take a little deeper stance with the Lord in some things in her life. Now, God didn't take it away from her. She had to hold it by faith, and she didn't feed her faith, and it slipped away from her. And it was a long time before she told me, but she said, I can't see in color anymore. It went away. And I had another lady that was an organist at a denominational church that somebody brought her, and I prayed with her, and she had leukemia, and she was in a denominational church, played the organ, everybody loved her, prayed with her, leukemia disappeared. But she never did testify, she never did tell anybody the Lord had healed her, she never did do anything about feeding her faith, she just kept on going to church that wasn't teaching her anything and playing the organ. And then she had a recurrence several years later and didn't even ask anybody to pray. And go, well, it came back. And then there was another lady that was in the same denomination this one was, but a different church, and she was a friend of my wife's. They were best friends all through high school and all. In fact, I dated this lady one time. Her name was Joyce. She sent me back. She knows her too, but wouldn't it? Would. But at any rate, she was just gotten into second marriage recently, and she was in her 40s, and her stomach started getting big. She started looking like she was expecting something. But first, she thought maybe she was, but then went to get checked out and found out it was a big old tumor growing in there. And so Jane and I went over to her house one night on our way to the Anchor House to go eat fish. We didn't fast and pray. We went and ate fish and stopped on the way back. And just sat there with her, and I had a bottle of oil in my pocket, and we just read her through some scriptures and got up to James 5:14. I told her about that, and I said, you want us to anoint you and pray for you? And she said, yes, I do. We got her in faith. And so I anointed her and prayed for her, and the next day she was scheduled to go to Duke because they was going to do surgery on her. And she got up there, and when I prayed for her, I said, I believe the Lord's going to give you something to encourage you, that you'll know it's working. She called me from Duke Hospital the next day, and just said, she was so excited. She said, I was here with, had my Bible on my lap, and I just opened it. I opened it up at random, and it opened up to John 11, and I saw one verse that jumped out, looked bigger than any of them, and it said, this sickness is not unto death, that God may be glorified. And she was healed. And they didn't have to do the surgery. And then it was probably 10 years later, 12 years later, she got cancer again. Still, for all them years, she kept on going to church. It wasn't teaching her anything about faith or the supernatural things of God. And cancer came back again after 10 or 12, maybe 15 years. I don't know, something like that. You know, she never even asked anybody to pray for her or anything. Never mentioned in that till it was already just about in the end stages and wound up dying of cancer. Another lady, one of the most miraculous ones I knew. She got diagnosed and her OBGYN doctor said to her, you have the worst case of ovarian cancer that I have ever seen in my 40 years of medical practice. Well, she has been started coming to a church that was teaching her something about faith and the supernatural things of God and got filled with the Spirit. And she said to him, praise God, that's just a bigger miracle my God can do. And you know what? She stood her ground. God gave her a scripture. She didn't know it. All of us know it. She didn't know it, but he gave it to her. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. She hung on to that boy. And we prayed for her and anointed her, and man, she's ready to go. And sure enough, they kept wanting to do surgery, and she said, no, God has healed me. And they didn't cut one thing out of her, and that cancer totally went away. And then it tried to come back a second time. She said, what am I going to do? I said, well, we fought it. You beat it the first time. Just do the same thing over again. If it worked before, do it again. That's what the preacher told us at our wedding. Y'all had 104 years of experience. Whatever you did before, just do it again. Us together now, by the way. So she did, and that cancer totally went away. And then she got Guillain-Barré syndrome and was paralyzed from her neck all the way down to her feet and was up at Baptist Hospital for about 3 months, I think, on a breathing tube. and couldn't move anything below her neck, but kept laying there in the bed, saying, "I'll not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." And she totally recovered. Hardly anybody does. You could not. All her nerve function came back and worked. Then she left to go to another church because it was bigger and the music was more exciting. And it was a Pentecostal church. And she was asked to give her testimony to the women's group. Big Pentecostal church. And she did. And she told him about them times God healed her. And she was asked by one of the staff members after that meeting to please not share that testimony there anymore, because some of the people whose mamas and daddy had died, who were wonderful saints, it made them feel bad. That she came down with cancer again. This time it was in the pancreas. And I would go to her, and she would try to quote that scripture, "I'll not die but live." But when I did, I could tell there was not one ounce of faith in her. Because she stayed. I don't blame that church for saying that too much. I do, really. But I blame her for staying there after they told her that. Because she kept herself in an environment that did not feed her faith, and she didn't feed her faith in that. And in spite of three miraculous healings, she wound up dying of cancer anyhow, because she didn't do what she needed to do to maintain it. Now, see, I'm just sharing experiences. I'm not making none of them stories up. I'm just sharing experiences. You can get healed by the supernatural power of God, and gloriously. And if you don't maintain it, then it's going to be gone. And let me just say a few things about the gifts. The gifts. Yes, sir. And Kenny. Let me get a little closer to you. Talk loud.
I feel like many times when we're going through situations and challenges and diseases and sicknesses, that what God wants to deliver us of is pride. Because faith and selfishness cannot dwell together.
That is right.
So we either trust God and believe and have to come to the end of our rope and the end of our expectations of what we can do, and allow God to do it. I wanted to say earlier, but I didn't get a chance to, that I appreciate you calling the elders up to help pray for folks, because I know we're not supposed to live by feeling, but you could feel the power of God channeling through my body when we were praying. And that's, I mean, we're emotional creatures too. So I think pride is a big hindrance many times. We won't admit to others and ourselves that we have a need. So God can't go any further.
Amen. That's a good word. And yeah, I listened to you praying on the CD again. I felt the power again when you prayed on the CD, Kenny. All everybody that prayed. And there's many reasons. Pride is one of them. There's just so many reasons that are us, not God. And God winds up getting the blame for it. and that's one of them. That's a biggie. The gifts of healings, and it is, both words are plural in several translations, American Standard, I think, and a couple others, and Young's Literal New Testament, and it doesn't matter about that, but in the original Greek, I've got one that gives me the tenses of verbs, and it says both of those gifts and healings are plural. It's the only gift of the Spirit that is indicated to be plural. Well, why do you need gifts in the plural of healings? Because there's so many different diseases. And I don't know why this is, but it's true that some people, it may just be because you get some results and it develops your faith in that area, but it seems like some people are gifted with certain diseases even. And I do know in my own experience, I have had more success with growths and tumors and cancers, it seems like, than I have with about anything else. And that's not me. And maybe part of that is because I had one myself. I don't know about that either, but I don't understand all this stuff, but I know the power of God's out there to work, and God wants it to work. And So the gift and gifts of healing are manifested for the supernatural healing of sickness and disease without the use of natural means of healing. That means this is not something. And then we need to think about what the gifts of healing are not, because other places you'll hear folks try to explain these gifts of the Spirit, and they always make them natural. These are supernatural. They try to make them to fit. If they can't get it to fit in their mind, you know, they can't. It makes them nervous. And so some places say, well, the gifts of healing are the skill and the wisdom that God has given the doctors and the medical community and all that. That is not what this is. This doesn't have anything to do with that. For one thing, Luke was a physician. He traveled with Paul all over the place and recorded what was going on. And we do not have one account of Luke ever treating anybody as a physician. He took them to Paul for the power to work on the island of Melita or Malta. It was Paul that healed the governor's father-in-law by the power of God. And then they brought the sick folks to Paul, not to Luke, not to Dr. Luke. And we're not against doctors. Thank God for them. Wasn't for them, most of the Christians would have died while they're trying to get their faith to work. But that's not what the gifts of healing is about. It's supernatural. And we see gifts of healing in the Old Testament. We could name some, but miracles are prominent in the Old Testament and not so much in the New Testament, whereas the gifts of healing are prominent in the New Testament and not so much in the Old Testament. But some gifts of healing in the New Testament, we know, of course, we look at the ministry of Jesus. He ministered as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. When he was 29 years old, he'd been the Son of God for 29 years. Never had healed anybody or done one miracle. But once the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he was endued with the power from on high, just like we do. How God, Acts 10:38, I think I got that later. I'll just say that. I'll quote it to you now. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. When did that happen? At the Jordan River, when he was 30 years old, he became the anointed one. You know why he didn't heal anybody before that? He didn't have the power. He didn't have the anointing to heal before that. He was the Son of God. So he didn't do what he did in the area of healing because he was the Son of God. He did it because he was the anointed one, the Christ. And then that same Holy Spirit is available to us today. Jesus said, you remember Luke chapter 4, right after got baptized in the Holy Spirit at the Jordan River, he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The very next thing he comes out, he goes to his home church in the city of Nazareth. He stood up and let them know he wanted to read something. And so they brought him the scroll of Isaiah. I guess he probably asked for it. And he found the place. Now, there's a lot of chapters in Isaiah. You got to know your Bible pretty good when you're on a scroll and it's not chapter and verse divided to find what you're looking for. And he found the place where it was written. And he said, Spirit of the Lord, the God is upon me, for he's anointed me. When did that happen? Just a few days ago. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, deliverance to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, preach the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. And so, did y'all put Acts 10:38 up there when I said it? You could have, because I was, any rate. Acts 10:38 tells us that, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went around doing good and what? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why did God anoint Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power? To go around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In other words, to destroy the works of the devil. Why does he anoint us with the Holy Ghost and power? To go around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil or anything else the devil is dealing with him about. And then we know that Jesus gave authority to his disciples. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. He said to them, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. He told them to heal the sick. That would be when the gifts of healing would be in operation, or it might just be through the laying on of hands or whatever it was. cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Both of them probably require a miracle. The leprosy probably requires the healing and the miracle, because the miracle would be to restore what had been damaged if that was done. And to cast out devils. And he said, freely you have received, freely give. I think I saw in two different books, one of them was Kenneth Hagin's Gifts of the Spirit, and the other was Gordon Lindsay, I think, that said, if the gift of the Spirit of healing was what doctors have, then they shouldn't charge you. Because if it's a gift to them, Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. So any doctor that's operating by the gifts of the Spirit needs to quit charging you for it. What would the newspaper do with if the word got out that I was charging people to pray for them? Boy, it'd be great, wouldn't it? heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. All right, and Mark 16, you know these verses as well. Mark 16, verse 15, and we're going to go down to 18 when we read them. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Next verse. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Next verse. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I know you can pick you up some good commentaries, or sort of good commentaries, that will explain to you that was not in the original text, and therefore we're not supposed to believe that. And some Bibles even put it in a footnote. I found out it even works in the footnotes. But I believe this was Gordon Lindsay, I know, that made a point that even if that was not in the original text of Mark, it is obvious that Jesus told them that. Because the whole book of Acts, that's what it's about, is them going doing that right there. He said if you throw out Mark chapter 16, those last verses, you have to throw out the whole book of Acts. Because the book of Acts is simply, and it should say instead of the Acts of the Apostles, it probably ought to say the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the book of Acts is them acting on what they were, what those words said right there. So, now that's for the believers. That's for me and you. All right? And by the way, those scriptures out there in Mark 16, when I used to, back in my earlier years, I used to get opportunities to go. I think one reason the Lord had me stay in the Lutheran church for 7 years after I was spirit-filled was I had an open door to some of them. And I'd like to point out, I was up at First Lutheran in Landis and Lexington, where this big church right downtown, a big old church. And the pastor was my former pastor, who had gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit from hanging around the wrong kind of people down in Concord. And he was up in Lexington, and he had me come up on the night before Pentecost Sunday and have about 2 hours of teaching on the Holy Spirit. And so they had us to come over to their house and eat supper with them before church. Well, his daddy was the bishop in Salisbury over all the churches in North Carolina, the pastor's daddy. So the pastor's daddy and mama just happened to show up for a visit. They didn't come to eat or anything. They just came up for a visit unexpected. And he said, well, we're having church tonight. Would y'all like to come? And they would. And so here I've got probably several hundred people out here in this big old fellowship hall, plus the bishop. And I'm teaching on the gifts of the Holy, on the Holy Spirit, ministry of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't have long to do on the gifts, and so I just kind of gave a brief little thing. And then somebody said, ask some question about tongues. But by the way, I would take the Book of Concord, which is what the church claimed we believed. I'd take it and quote out of it. And I had, Luther's commentary on the book of Mark and what he had to say about these verses right here. Martin Luther said about those verses I just read that I interpret these scriptures to apply to every individual believer. If a person is a Christian and has faith, he will do these signs. So, but then somebody asked a question about tongues and somebody else started answering them. It was blind leading the blind. And I said, well, if we're going to talk about it, let me just give you a little bit of explanation here, and I did. And so then some lady sitting in the front row looked at me and said, well, do you do that? And I said, yes, ma'am, every day. But at any rate, this stuff's supernatural. If your mind can't understand it, praise God, the better it is. And we know that they acted on this. Peter healed the sick. We know that. Peter raised the dead. You remember that girl he raised up from the dead? And Peter did special miracles. One of them was when he walked down the street and his shadow just landed on people. They were healed. And the devils left them. And then Paul healed the sick. Paul wasn't there when they got the first instructions, but he knew about Mark 16. Paul raised the dead. I believe Paul believed when it says, and as you take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing and not hurt them, and they'll lay hands on the sick and recover. When he was on the island of Malta and that poisonous snake bit him on the hand, he must have thought to himself, I don't know this, the Bible didn't tell me, but he must have thought, well, you know what? Jesus said, cast out devils, I've done that, and that worked. He said, believers speak in tongues, and I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. You all. And he said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, and I know that works. So why would I doubt that this one out of four doesn't work? And so he shook the snake off in the fire and went on about his business. Paul did every one of those things right there in Malta. Acts 19 tells us that about Paul. Acts 19 and verse 11, 12, did I give you that? Yeah, there it is. That's supposed to be 19. My writing might not have been very good. I'll just tell you what. That's the one that Paul, it says, and special miracles were done by handkerchiefs and aprons that were taken from Paul's body. Special miracles. These things didn't quit with Jesus. They didn't quit with the original 12 apostles because Paul was not one of the original 12 apostles. And they hadn't quit today either. Right? That is right. And he's got a lot of folks trying to help him convince us of that. But all the gifts of the healing are intended to be ministry gifts to the church to use as part of weapons of our warfare, as part of getting the job done, as part of destroying the works of the devil. God wants folks well. God wants folks delivered of things that have them in bondage. God wants people that are bound to drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. God wants them set free. And he's got the solution. He's the one with the answer, and we're the ones with the message. Right? It's a ministry gift to the church. The gifts of healing is a supernatural operation of the Spirit manifested to someone through another. And the gift is given as the Holy Spirit wills. We understand that. But we can learn how to position ourselves that there's more opportunity for the gift to work. Even though it's as the Spirit will. If the Spirit wills for a gift of healing to work through you to minister to somebody else, if you don't will, it doesn't matter how much the Spirit wills. He's got to have somebody to cooperate. All believers can minister healing through acting on faith in God's Word and praying the prayer of faith. So for healing, there's all kinds of ways. Believers, it just says lay hands on them. You don't even have to have any oil. Well, elders don't really have to have oil because you're a believer too. Right? But another way it says, if there's any sick, James 5:14, call the elders of the church. By the way, that's about the only place that prayer is ever indicated for healing. That's the only time I know of that prayer is indicated for healing. But what do we want to do all the time? We always pray. Jesus hardly ever prayed for anybody. He said, take up your bed and walk. I like the way Joyce Meyer said it. That was a guy that had been laying down there at the pool of Bethesda. They're taking you down there every day. And he's laying there all day long on his mat. And, you know, he probably has Hardy's bags all around there and coffee cups and whatever. And we don't know. But he's spending his day down there every day. And maybe even some cigarette butts. We don't know. And what's her name? Joyce Meyer said, literally what he said was, get up and clean up your mess. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not, but a lot of times that's what folks need to do. Just get up and clean up your mess and take some action here. So, I'm going to compare just in a couple of minutes, gift of healing versus receiving by faith. The gifts of healing are the supernatural operation of a spiritual gift given as the Holy Spirit wills. Other healing miracles can come as a result of healing is always miraculous, but it's not always that gift working. There's other ways. For example, the sick person can receive his own healing by faith. A minister exerts their authority as a believer over sickness sometimes. I do that a lot. That's what the Lord had me to do. Last week I did why I called the elders up for church. That's what I saw the Lord showing me to do. Yes, sir, Ross. Hang on just a minute. Start over with last week again.
Last week I was up there and the elders themselves prayed for me and for my back. And I've noticed, I felt something going down my leg. And I felt a difference last week and this week with the pain is going. And I praise God every day. I thank God for you, elders, and whoever prayed for me. And I thank God for this family. I praise God. I thank everyone. Because I've been going through this for years. And only God can do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, was it his time? And I guess it must have been his time because you said, Ross, this is your time, and I accepted it, and I thank you, and I thank God above, and I thank the elders and everyone in this this church family. God bless all of you.
Amen. Amen. And you know what your biggest part in it was? Yeah, that's right. Give the Lord a hand for that. Yeah. What your biggest part in it was, like when Kenny talked about pride a while ago, your biggest part, the only part you had to play in that last week was to get up out of your seat and walk down there.
I know.
And you could have sat right back here, and you wouldn't have had that testimony today.
I know.
Your part was to get up and walk down there and get prayed for. And sometimes, I tell you, people that, you know, kind of are known to be strong faith people, a lot of times they're the hardest ones to get to respond to something like that. Well, bless God, I'm going to let everybody know I can just do this by faith. No, you can't. Especially if that's your attitude. It's not going to work with that attitude. And that's why I'm trying. I've kind of been throwing a bunch of stuff, but there's so many pieces to getting this to work. But the hindrance is always man, somehow or another. And that can be woe man, too, by the way. Yes, ma'am. Well, right, wait a minute. You can't testify to that just because if you don't have this, I have to get into the CD and put it in my computer and try to raise the volume up where we can hear it and all that stuff.
Well, I didn't get to tell my whole testimony the first time. So. But when you talk about the scripture about he satisfies our mouth with good things, the Lord had showed me something in that last week, and he said our mouths have two functions primarily. One is to eat, and the other is to speak. And when you eat junk, you're never satisfied. That's why they say you can never eat just one potato chip. If you learn to eat good, those foods will satisfy you. But the same thing is true about the words that you say. When you're always speaking negative, you just want to keep on talking that junk. But when you begin to speak positive and good things and God's word into the situation, it'll get the job done. So, I went up and got prayed for Sunday, and I'm already completely healed of arthritis, but there are some residual effects in that foot that it needs a miracle. So I came up here, and the gifts of the Spirit were in operation, and the elders were praying, and my faith was working, so all this is going. And Tuesday I went out to go for my run, as I usually do, and my foot hurt worse than it has hurt since it ever started hurting. And my first inclination was to just say, well, I guess I have to just go get back in the car and go. But I didn't. I started doing something crazy, and I started talking to that foot. And I said, foot, the elders of the church laid hands on me and they prayed for you and you are healed and the gifts of the Spirit were in operation and you were in violation of the Word of God. So pain get out of my foot and I kept on running and you know by the time I got back I felt better than I felt. And I'm just progressively getting better. So it all works together.
Amen. 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 Well, as long as we get results, that's what counts, man. And it's the many pieces that. Now, listen, is everybody going to get healed? Do I still have folks I'm praying for? Yes. Do I still have some things lingering in my body once in a while that I haven't quite found the solution to yet? Yes. But that doesn't take away from the truth of what we do know. And what Les just said about if you, I hadn't thought about that, but I've never heard anybody say you can't eat just one apple. But you can't eat just one potato chip because junk craves more junk. And so when you talk about it coming out of your mouth, just when she was telling you that, the scripture came to my mind, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And listen to the second half of that verse. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They that love what? Talking that junk out of their mouth. Now, junk is not doesn't have to be profanity. The Bible says you're going to be called to account for every idle word. Idle is some. If your car's idling, it ain't going nowhere. Idle is just stuff. Now, that doesn't take away from having humor and all that stuff. That's not talking about that. It is talking about speaking things that are negative and bring the wrong consequences to us. All you husbands know there's some things you ain't supposed to say to your wife. I ain't found out what all of them are here yet. I'm having to relearn, you know, they're all different. They're all programmed different. But at any rate, you'll find, you learn, well, that didn't work too good. I won't try that again. But anyway, thank God that, you know what, we're just actually a bunch of little old spiritual children down here and trying to learn the best we can. But God's trying to teach us. And the more we learn, it's true, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they rejected knowledge. And the big thing is have your mind and heart open to receive everything God is trying to say to you. Don't think you got it all figured out. I don't think I have. I don't consider myself to have apprehended. But and we're just going to keep pressing on. And a lot of times these gifts, several of them need to work together. But the main thing is to do what we can do. See, that's as the Spirit will. I can't control when the gifts of the Spirit operate. But I can control whether or not I've got myself in faith or not. I can control whether I'm doing the things in the natural I need to do or not to be healthy. And so my job is to just do my part. I don't need to understand God's part or even try to explain it totally. But I just know there's ways that He'll hook on to the end of it. And sometimes He doesn't if I don't make provision where He can do that. Jesus out there knocking on the door. If it wasn't my responsibility to open the door, that verse wouldn't need to be in the Bible. Jesus said, I'm knocking on the door. And we have got to open every door He's knocking on. I started the first of the year out with that, I think, didn't it? It's the year of the open door. 2014, there's an open door. Well, when He opens the door, we got to go through it. And when He's knocking on the door, I got to open it and let Him in. Amen. Amen. I'll stop with that. Stand your feet, if you will. And anybody need prayer this morning about anything? We believe in praying. We believe prayer changes things. Anybody?